appreciate the things that Brother David had to say. You know, many of God's children throughout the course of their lives go through trials and tribulations and difficulties. Many times we get down in a pit and think there'll never be another good day. But you know, the Lord is full of grace and He's merciful. And as tough as the times seem to be, God can lift us up. He can set us up on a firm foundation and give us hope where at one time we felt we had no hope. I know how Brother David feels. I know I've been in that same situation. I know there's several of you other brethren and many that I don't even know about. And we talk about Sister Faye and continue to pray for her this morning. There's burdens and troubles upon the children of God's shoulders many times that we're not aware of. So we need to continue to pray for each one, especially those we know about, that God would be merciful to us. You know, God knows what we stand in need of even before we ask. As Brother David said, He knows our needs and He'll provide for us. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. You know, our brethren, our mother and father, natural mother and father, it says it's possible that they might forsake us. But God says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll take us in His wings and He'll help us in our time of need. I'm thankful for what Brother David had to say this morning. I continue to ask that you'd pray for him, that the Lord would continue to bless him as he goes through life. This morning, Lord being my helper, I'd like to go to the Gospel of John, beginning in the first chapter, reading from the first verse, and look at a few things. Beginning in the first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." These first three verses are referring to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first verse, it says the Word. That translated in the book of John means the divine expression. That means Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the living Word. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 tells us, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." They make up the triune Godhead, the Trinity. The Word here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity. And we know by these first three verses that it's talking and speaking, the Apostle John is of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says He was from the beginning. He was with God. He's eternal. He's been from everlasting to everlasting. It says all things were made by Him. And there was not anything made that was not made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's an eternal being. He's the living Word. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in the fourth verse, "In Him was life." In Him was life. It's not talking about the physical life that me and you are breathing and walking upon this face of the earth as we walk. Excuse me. It's talking about immortal life, spiritual life, eternal life. In Him was life. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. He's our hope. He is our eternal life. It says, "And the life was the light of men." If you've ever seen the child of God who's born again born of the Spirit of God, he has the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in his heart. He is the light of men. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We cannot access the Father in eternal life. We cannot go to the Father in prayer. We cannot go approach the Father unless it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His shed blood. He is the life, and He is the light of men. Light means to shine or to make manifest. As we notice here, if a child's born again, he shines or he manifests that the life of Jesus Christ is dwelling within him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our life. He is our eternal life, our immortal life, our spiritual life. It says, "And the light shineth in darkness." The Bible makes a clear distinction in the Word of God between darkness and between light. These two are contrary one to another. They're opposite one from another. They're in opposition one to the other. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "This then is the message that we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." Darkness represents unrighteousness, evil, wickedness. Light represents righteousness, holiness, purity, truth, That speaks of our God, the God, our God which art in heaven. Our God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no unrighteousness. There's no evil. There's no wickedness. It says here, and the light shineth in darkness. You know, there is no power greater than the power of our God. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The Bible teaches us that there are powers of darkness, or Satan has powers, but he has no powers over the light or over God. God has all power and all authority. God's power is irresistible. There's no authority. He speaks to no one. He asks for no references. For God's power is supreme. There is no higher or greater power in the heavens than the power of our God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, notice, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God speaks, it's as sure as done. He doesn't refer to someone else. He doesn't ask anybody else, for His power is supreme. He answers to no one. It says, and His light shineth in darkness, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, there's twofold meaning here in this verse. It says, and the darkness comprehended it not. Many of us will look at being able to comprehend something as being able to understand it or to perceive it. It does have that meaning here, but it also means it cannot seize it. It cannot possess it. It's not able to apprehend it or overtake it. When we look into God's Word, we'll find out that darkness has no power over the light. God is an all-powerful God. Our God has the same power today as He had when He said, let there be light, and there was light, when God created the heavens and the earth. Our God is unchangeable. In Malachi 3 and 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. God does not change, and neither has His power changed. He has power over darkness. Darkness has no power. Now, we live in a world that tells you that darkness has power over the light. But you know, when we begin to read God's Word and we see the condition of natural man, he's in darkness. In Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us about those who are dead in trespasses and sins. It's those who are in darkness. They have no power. They cannot seize or possess the light. They cannot apprehend it. People will tell you that it's come to Jesus. But it says there's no power in darkness to apprehend the light. Neither can it understand it. It has no power. If we go to the book of Ephesians, beginning in chapter 2, it says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That being the first verse of the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. That person who was dead in trespasses and sins is that person who's in darkness. He's void of any understanding of God. He's void of any power. He cannot apprehend that power. For God's power is irresistible. It has power over all darkness. If you were to go in your house one night and that house be completely dark and you flip on a light, that light will overpower the darkness and you'll have no more darkness in that room when you flip the light on. God has all power. God is all righteous. He has all power. But in the second verse here it says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. At some point in time throughout the course of our lives, those who are children of God were in darkness. They were dead in trespasses and sins. They had no power to apprehend this light. They had no power to possess it. And they were void of understanding. They could not perceive this light. We live in a world that tells us that we just need to come to this light. We need to bring it into our hearts. It's of our own doing. But the Bible teaches us that darkness has no power over the light. It does not understand the light. It cannot apprehend this light. It cannot overtake it. The children who are dead in trespasses and sins, they are the children who are in darkness. Notice the language over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 4 it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel, light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now in this verse it says, in whom the God of this world, little g, he's not even talking about the God of heaven, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now there's many in this world will tell you that they can help the light of the glorious gospel shine unto other folks. They can help them see this glorious light. They can help this be brought. But notice verse 6 here. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It's God who commands that light. For darkness has no power over the light. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'll assure you, if you're a child of God and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because God has commanded that light to shine in your heart. It wasn't something that you took up on yourselves. We'll get to that here in just a little bit, and I'll explain to you where the man in his natural state, man that's in darkness, has no power over the light. He cannot apprehend or come to the light. There's many who'll tell you in this world that you just need to come to Jesus. But we'll get into that just in just a minute. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, God has all power over the light. His power is supreme. It's above all powers that we know of. And darkness has its powers. The Bible speaks of the powers of darkness. But I'll assure you, the powers of darkness and the powers of Satan have no power when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and the light that shines within Him. It tells us that our life, if you're a child of God, the life is the light of men. That life of Jesus Christ that dwells within your heart is the light that illuminates you. It's that light that manifests that you're a child of God. It shows forth as you walk in this world. It tells us over in the Gospel of John, in the 9th verse, in the 1st chapter, it says, talking about Jesus Christ, it says, He is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many people see that as an invitation to become a child of God, but that's a declaration of who is a child of God. The world that's under consideration there is the world of God's elect. It's those that are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's all of them that were given to Jesus Christ by the Father. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. All those that come to the Father, those are the ones that will make up this world, the world of God's elect, those men who manifest the life of Jesus Christ in their hearts. It says here in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, we can't hide the gospel from anyone. But I'll tell you right now, you can take a person who's in darkness, a person who's dead in trespasses and sins, you can set them down in a church, you can walk and talk to them day after day, and they're never going to hear it. They're never going to understand it because they're in darkness. It's hid from them because they're lost. They cannot perceive it. They cannot understand it. They have no power to apprehend it. They cannot overtake it because they're in darkness. We were all in that state of condition. If we're a child of God, we've been chosen and elected before the foundation of the world. At some time between the time that we were conceived in our mother's womb and the time that we're buried and laid in the heart of the earth, God will shine and command His light to shine in our hearts. That will give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Sometime throughout your life, if you're an elect child of God, if you're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, God will command His light to shine out of darkness, and His glorious light will shine into your heart, and you'll have an understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You'll have an understanding of what your purpose upon this earth is. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what he said in the 12th chapter and the 13th verse of the book of Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep His commandments. That means to lift God up, to put Him first and foremost in your life. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We wasn't put here for our own pleasures and for our own wants. It tells us in our natural state, in a state when we're dead in trespasses and sins, we walked as the world walked. We fulfill the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind as the world does. But Solomon told us that our purpose here was to serve God and to reverence Him, to lift Him up, to fear Him, to put Him first and foremost into our lives. Now when we talk about this power, this light, there's many will tell you that this darkness can come to the light. But the Bible tells us it has no power to come to the light. It cannot apprehend it, nor can it understand it. If you will, I want to turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Gospel of John, and I want to look at verse 25. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." You know, there's many will read that verse. And if you do not study that verse out and you do not understand and see what it says, you'll say he's talking about those who are dead and buried in the grave. But that's where you've made a mistake. You've erred if you think that verse has anything to do with those that are dead and buried in the grave. It certainly does not. Verse 28 tells us, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice." Now that verse is talking about it. The hour is coming. How do we understand that? It says the hour is coming. We know that the Bible teaches the final resurrection, when the Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with the archangel and the sound of the trump, and he'll gather up his children to go and be with him forever in heaven. The Bible teaches that truth. But we know the Lord Jesus Christ has not returned. We look into verse 25. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." When you study out this verse, you've got to understand, Jesus says here, the hour is coming. Jesus is speaking his words himself. This is not from the Apostle John. These are Jesus' own words. He says, the hour is coming, and now is. He's telling us that hour is throughout all ages. That hour was when he spoke them words, and that hour is coming. Everyone has been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. There's some hour that glorious light will shine in their hearts at some point in their lifetime. This has been going on throughout all the ages. But many people make the mistake of associating dead there and not understanding that the hour is coming and now is. It was throughout all the ages. It's still coming. Till every elect child of grace has been born. The hour is coming and now is. We know the Bible doesn't teach of a continuous resurrection. We're not being resurrected one day and somebody else the next day. It teaches of the final resurrection of the dead. We know this verse is not talking about the dead corpse buried in the grave. It says also, "And now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God." That's the next most important thing we need to know in this verse. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. I'll tell you right now, we have many that profess to be Christians who are walking around through this world saying that God is speaking to every man. He's speaking to him. All you need to do is open up your heart and listen. For God is speaking. But God tells us that we're dead in trespasses and sins. When we're walking in darkness, we cannot understand. We have no power to apprehend this light. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him." This man's walking in darkness. He has no power to possess or apprehend this light. He cannot overtake it. Therefore, he cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6 and 44 says, "No man," this is Jesus speaking himself, "no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." It says you will not be willing. You have no power. You cannot come. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. When we look at this verse here and we study it out, you take the Greek word that's translated dead here and it means corpse. It literally means corpse. Many people get confused. They cannot understand what's being spoken of here because they associate corpse with a dead body in the grave, in the mortuary, in the morgue. But he's telling us here that your heart is a dead corpse. That's what he's speaking of. You know, you could go to a funeral home. You could go to a morgue, to a loved one's side that had died. You could sit there and speak to that loved one hour upon hour, day upon day, and I'll promise you, you'll never get a response from that dead corpse. It has no power to respond. Jesus said those who are dead in trespasses and sins, those who are in darkness, have no power to respond. They cannot understand. They cannot approach this light. They cannot come to it. For Jesus said, "No man can come unto me." Jesus Christ is the true light. No man can come to him except the Father would send him drawing. They have no power. But many people will tell you, just open your heart up and let Jesus come in. Well, I'll assure you that dead corpse can't respond. Your heart is dead in trespasses and sins. And it says here, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God.
It talks about throughout the ages, those that were chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, all that were given to Him by the Father. At some point in time throughout all the ages, they will hear the voice of the Son of God and they shall live. They're the ones that will live. They're the ones who God commanded His light to shine out of darkness, to shine into their hearts, to give them the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For darkness has no power when it comes to the light. Neither can it understand it. It says here, and they shall live. They're the ones who are the light of men. They're the ones who manifest this life of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling within them. They're the ones who have the power to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The power and the ability to approach the throne of grace and pray unto God the Father. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're told here, and we understand in God's Word, that God's power is irresistible. You know, some people say, well, what if I didn't want to come? I'll assure you, when Jesus speaks His life-giving voice into the heart of a sinner who's dead in trespasses and sins, who's walking in darkness, He is made willing. 110th Psalms in the 3rd verse says, Thy people will be willing in the day of Thy power. God's power cannot be overshadowed. When we consider all things in the world, we need to consider that God has all power. He can do whatsoever He pleases. When God calls a man out of darkness into His marvelous light, it's as sure as done. That man is made willing. God has all power. You know, as we look at a verse, some verses for a few minutes over here in John chapter 11. Turn over just a second. In verse 4 it says, when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We're talking about the death of Lazarus here. In verse 20 it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lazarus was very sick. It was many of the Jews who were living at the time the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon this earth that knew that He had done many great miracles. He had healed those who were sick. Those who were on their deathbeds, He had made them well. He had brought sight to the blind. He had healed the lame. He had healed those with leprosy. They knew that if He'd have been there, that their brother Lazarus would not have died. But Jesus made it a point not to go. He knew he was sick. He was going to let Lazarus die, that the glory of God might show forth. It says here, when he had heard, therefore, in verse 6, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He stayed there for one reason, knowing that Lazarus would die and at the ultimate end would bring forth and show the glory of God to these folks that were around. In verse 38 it says, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. After a few days him and his disciples went to Lazarus' tomb. Jesus in verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, saith unto the Lord, but this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. You know, it doesn't take long when a body dies to begin to rot, as one might say. Decompose. You know, it's gonna go in a bad way pretty quick. If we weren't embalmed like we are today, it wouldn't take very long. But the point is, this body had already laid in the grave for 4 days. And they knew that if they rolled the stone away, the smell of this body would come out. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from that place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. In verse 43 it says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loosen and let him go. Understand one thing. Jesus has all power. It doesn't matter whether Jesus is calling you out of darkness whether your heart is a dead corpse, dead in trespasses and sins. When Jesus speaks, it's as sure as done. Lazarus didn't say, let me think about it. Lazarus was dead. He could not respond. But when Jesus gave his life-giving voice and he spoke to Lazarus, Lazarus came out of that tomb. He didn't ask any questions. He was dead. He had no power or ability to respond, but he came forth. When Jesus or God commands his light to shine in our hearts, we come forth. No other way can we come. Because Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father which sent me draw him. It takes the power of God to draw one to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by man's own power. It's not by his own wishes. Many people in today get confused at that teaching. But this is all done by the glorious power of God. He said, loose him and let him go. You know, if you ever come to understand this great and wonderful truth, you've been loosed. You've been made free and let go. Because many people in this day and age, they have great burdens upon their shoulders. Yokes of bondage. For they think they've got to do some great and wonderful thing that they might seek and gain a home in heaven. But Jesus tells us that all men in their natural state are in darkness. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And they have no power to apprehend the light. And they have no way to perceive it or understand it. For this power comes from God only. And it's irresistible. Meaning that God makes us willing. God shines his light into our hearts. And there's a great change. This morning as I begin to look for a closing point, I want us to understand one thing. In John 5 and 25, it tells us there that that man's heart was dead just as a dead corpse lay physically buried in a cemetery. That's the same condition your heart's in. And unless Jesus speaks his life-giving voice to your heart, you're never going to hear. You're never going to have the ability to understand. And you're never going to be able to come unto Jesus, as many would say you should. You know what it says in John 5 and 40? It says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You have no power to come and you will not come. People will not come. They're drawn to Jesus by the power of God. God commands his light to shine out of darkness and shines in their hearts. They begin to have an understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and a knowledge of the glory of God. As I find a closing place this morning, I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's the power of God and the Lord Jesus Christ that calls us out of darkness. It's not our friends. It's not the preacher. It's not the helper. In Hebrews chapter 8, I want to read a few verses beginning in verse 10. It said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds. And write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Oh, that's against what people say today, isn't it? We need to teach our neighbors and we need to teach our brothers. We need to bring everybody to Christ. Christ is speaking to everyone. You just need to open your heart and let him come in. But God says that if you're in darkness, you have no power to come to the light. God said, I will write my laws in their minds and their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. I have called them out of darkness into my marvelous light. This is the power of God. Man has no power when it comes to the light. For he's in darkness, he's dead in trespasses and sins. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He also says that he will teach from the least to the greatest. It don't matter what position you have in life or hold, God teaches all. God commands his light to shine in a baby's heart or a person who's 80 years old. But if that person believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, has any understanding of the glory of God, it's because God has commanded his light to shine in that person's heart. They wasn't taught by their neighbor. They wasn't taught by their brother, their mother, their father. They were taught by God because God in His irresistible power commanded the light to shine in their hearts. But you are a chosen generation. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. A royal priesthood. Jesus being our high priest. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That we should show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Jesus has called us out of darkness. He's called us into His marvelous light. Are we showing forth praises each and every day that we live for this great truth? For this great understanding that we have? We shouldn't just do this on Sunday morning when we come to the house of the Lord. We should show forth praises continually to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us life, who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. May we ever be mindful of this. May we ever keep this in our thoughts daily. Understanding that it was God's mercy that helped us to be saved. It wasn't our good works, our good deeds, or our good decisions. It's because God was merciful. He chose a people. And He commanded that that light shine into their hearts. That's what's given them an understanding, an ability to believe. It's the power of God at work. Understand one thing. Darkness has no power over the light. Our God has all power. I commend you this day and ask that you would continue to praise God and show forth praises for this glorious truth. May God bless you is my prayer this morning, and I thank you for your kind attention. If there be one here that desires a home with this church, let them come forth and make their wishes known. I have not the power or the authority to take care of that, but I'll assure you Brother George will be back next week and he can do that. May God bless you is my prayer.